You know, Chandler Church, there is a modern media sensation that some of you may be familiar with. It is called Big Brother. And on this reality television show, we find that several guests are challenged to live together for several weeks, up to 3 months, separated from all of their friends and family, with no contact from the outside world. They live in a specifically constructed home that is filled with cameras and microphones and absolutely zero privacy. Throughout the course of the reality television show, the contestants are eliminated week by week as they are voted off by their peers and by the viewers until there are finally just a few left. As the house guests are selected by the producers, they are carefully chosen to reflect genders and educational, social, and different ethnic backgrounds. I find it to be an absolutely fascinating concept, the idea of all of these strangers being put together in an isolated atmosphere and discovering how it is they get to live together while everyone else watches. But you know what, friends? The concept of the show, the program, the media sensation that we see here in America, it's not something that's new to America. It's actually a ripoff, a copy of an older British version. And I would submit to you today that the older British version is actually a copy of a concept that we find in the pages of Scripture. Today, friends, as we turn to our Bibles to revisit the scripture reading that was read by Kenny Fluence so well, we turn back to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and today we will discover from the Word of God that our big brothers in heaven are watching us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'll be reading from the New King James Version today. In the New King James Version of Hebrews chapter 12, the author, whom we believe to be the Apostle Paul, writes this message to us. He says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of what? There are people or intelligences that are watching us. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," Paul says, "let us, because everyone is watching, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God." Can you say amen? Amen? You see, beloved, as Paul writes these words to his friends, the Hebrews, he wants them to understand that in their Christian faith, in their Christian walk, in their Christian experiences, there are a great cloud of witnesses that are watching what they do. And the reason the big brothers are watching is because a long time ago, a situation developed that caused conflict in our universe. It caused a cosmic battle for that which we would know and deem as truth. You see, on one side of this conflict, there was God, our Father, and on the other side, there was Lucifer, this being of light who he created. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15, in regards to Lucifer, this angel of light who God created, that he was perfect in all of his ways from the day that he was made and manifest from the hand of God, until such time as iniquity was fostered and found, made and manifest in his own heart by himself. Ezekiel goes on to tell us this of Lucifer. He says that every precious stone was your covering: carnelian, chrysolite, moonstone, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald, and worked gold were your settings and engravings. Ladies, he was an absolute knockout. And maybe for that reason, It may have been his beauty or his splendid ornamentation. It may have been his musical talent. It may have been his wisdom. We're not exactly sure what it was that caused his heart to rise up in pride and believe that he could contend and or own the throne of God and be worshipped like God to have his power. But because he could not fight God, what he did was choose to spread rumors about God. He spread rumors that God was not as good as we should think he is, that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't want what's best for us, that God makes rules that are too difficult and arduous and hard to follow. And because those rumors were so widespread, dissension and arguments took place in heaven. We are told in Revelation 12 verse 7 that there was war. There was conflict. In the most beautiful, pristine, and prestigious place in all of the universe, there was war because God's character was maligned. The Bible tells us that Michael, who many Bible scholars understand and know as Jesus Christ, that Michael and his angels, the good ones, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. The Bible tells us that that dragon, which is referred to in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, is not just a symbolic image. That dragon is, in fact, Satan himself, who does what to the whole world? He tricks us. He confuses us. He distorts that which is true. And for that reason, because he deceives the whole world, and because he was not strong enough to contend for the throne of God, we are told in Revelation 12, verse 9, that he was cast out of heaven into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The Bible tells us that today, at this hour, at this time, there are devils and demons and demonic forces in our world here warring against the truth of God. And for that reason, friends of mine, you and I have become involved. You and I have become participants in this cosmic struggle. You see, it's just like the television show Big Brother. In Big Brother, the contestants are all different people, and so are we. Different people with different backgrounds, different languages, different experiences, all working together under one great opportunity of life that God has given. The difference between those in the Big Brother house and us is that they chose to go in the house and we are stuck here together. We're born in this conflict. And like in Big Brother, the contestants can't leave this house. Friends of mine, you and I, no matter how hard we try, we cannot escape the conflict or the battle for truth. Can you say amen? In this world, we are confined. In this world, we cannot walk the fence. In this world, we must choose to be for or against God and decide where we stand. And as we decide where it is we stand, Paul tells us today in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, all of our big brothers are watching. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we enjoin and enact, it is being watched by the entire universe as we are on full display. You see, Chandler Church, Paul understood this as well, and it's what he sought to express to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says this, he says, "For I think," but Paul was spot on. He says, "I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a what? A spectacle to the world, not just to the world and those who are watching in our sphere of influence, but both to angels and to men." Our big brothers are watching. Chandler Church, the entire universe is watching us, and God's honor, his existence, his being, his working in our life, it is in question. And whether or not we are obedient to God, whether or not we place our faith, our trust, our allegiance to God, it shows and gives credulity as to whether or not what God has done in our life is truly real. You see, I believe that the best scenario of this situation is found in the book of Job. You Bible scholars out there, recall in Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says this, that one day as the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan, who is the accuser, he came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. And Satan replied, "I have come from earth, where I have been watching absolutely everything that's going on." And the Lord then asked Satan, "If you have been watching, if you have been witnessing, if you have been monitoring everything that's taking place here in this world," God says, "did you check out my man Job? See, my man Job is faithful in all things. He loves me. He honors me. He serves me. He trusts me." But Satan, being that rascal that he is, seeking to cause division in heaven, he says this to God. We see this response in Job chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. "Well, God, why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't Satan be kind to you and love you and trust you and obey you? You pay him so well. You take care of his family. You make sure he has a good job. You make sure he has that shiny car, a nice house with a good roof, and that everything is going smoothly for him." But Satan said to God, "If you take away that which you have prospered him with, if you take away what he has, he will curse you to your face." What a rascal, huh? You know, the Satan hasn't learned any new tricks. He does the same with us today. The same in our lives, the same in our homes, the same in our situations, the same in our marriages, the same with our families. He causes and he prompts and he instigates afflictions to come upon us. And as they do, all of our big brothers watch as to how we will respond. See, Chandler Church, one day when we get to heaven, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more hurt, there will be no more death and no more dying. But right now we're in the waiting room. And right now we can trust in those precious promises that God has given to us. Or we can recoil in doubt and discord. And we can show whether or not we believe what God has said to us. Like Job, who is being watched by the entire universe, we are, friends, here in our entire universe being watched by our big brothers. You see, in the TV show, there is a reason why those people decide to leave their jobs, their families, their friends. They decide to take themselves away from the outside world and move into a secluded place with no privacy whatsoever. And they do so because there is a prize at stake. Thousands of dollars that they could win if they become the last person standing in that home. But how much more greater of a prize has God set before us as Christians, as daughters and sons of the living God, for us to be faithful and true to that which God has given us? Can you say amen? And no, for those of you who are thinking the prize is not eternal life, that's a free gift from Jesus. The prize, beloved, the prize that God has given to us is the vindication of God's character before the whole universe. Today in our world, today in our country, we are no longer one nation under God. We are more secular, we are more atheist, we are more skeptic than ever before. For those of you who go on the internet, who talk on chat rooms, who go on Twitter, you know that the mantra of modern day secular people is that I don't want to hear anything about religion. Friends of mine, people don't want to hear about religion. They want to see the manifestation of God in us. And while they await that proof, the whole world is watching. In fact, that is the whole reason for the church's existence today. Paul says this to us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Paul tells us why he, as an apostle, why we as a church exist and for what purpose. Paul says this in Ephesians 3, 8 through 13. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace, meaning this privilege, was given. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ and to make all see. To make them see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the city of Chandler, in heavenly places. Our big brothers are watching. Do you hear me today, Chandler Church? Everything we say, everything we do is a witness to our universe about God's dealings with us, about whether or not God is just, about whether or not God is fair, about whether or not God is love. And I believe He is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In fact, the life of our friends Cain and Abel is another example of the big brother great controversy. You Bible scholars out there can remember as the firstborn of Adam and Eve, Cain was enraged because God did not accept his offering of fruits and vegetables, which were a symbol of his works, but instead accepted Abel's offering of a sacrifice of a lamb, which is a symbol of the righteousness of Christ. And I want you to notice this insight into the great controversy from the book entitled Patriarchs and Prophets. The author writes this. She says, in sparing the life of the first murderer, God presented before the whole universe, He opened it up so they could watch and see, a lesson bearing upon the great controversy. The dark history of Cain and all of his descendants was an illustration of what would have been the result of permitting the sinner to live on forever, to carry out his rebellion against God. The forbearance of God only rendered the wicked more bold and more defiant in all of their iniquity. And then, friends, we understand that she says, Satan is constantly at work with intense energy under 1,000 disguises to misrepresent the character and the government of God. God, who is the one infinite and all-wise being, He sees the end from the beginning, and in dealing with Satan's evil plans, God understood that His plans would be far-reaching and comprehensive. We can trust Him today. Amen? God is in control. Do you hear me, Chandler Church? And that which God allows, that which God permits, that which God sustains, it is for a higher purpose and a higher reason. And if it does not go our way, we can recoil, we can doubt, we can become discouraged, or we can trust in our friend Jesus. I believe this. I believe that Jesus is faithful. And I believe that as Jesus' plan is working out in our lives and all of our angels, the big brothers, are watching us, friends of mine, I believe it's possible in the midst of every struggle we face, every fear we harbor in our heart, and every discouragement that comes along our way, that we can keep our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We understand this in regards to what God is doing in our world. She says that it was God's purpose not merely to put down the rebellion, but to demonstrate, to show, because everyone is watching, to all of the universe the nature of the rebellion. Not just squash it, but to show what the heart of it looks like. God's plan unfolding, showing both His justice and His mercy, and fully vindicating His wisdom and righteousness in His dealings with evil. The holy inhabitants of other worlds were what? Who can read that word? They're watching with the deepest interest in the events taking place here on the earth. Do you know what the angels' favorite television program is? It's you. They love to watch. They love to behold. They love to see. They love to cheer you on as they see the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ inspiring you to faith and trust in the King of Heaven whom they have sworn their allegiance to. With interest, they focus on the dealings of your day and they watch you as Satan tries to buffet you and destroy you and tear you down, and you keep your gaze upon Christ Jesus, your Lord. Our big brothers are watching. Amen. And as I speak to the men of our congregation in this men's week of prayer, I submit to us men that as our big brothers are watching, we need to be more faithful. Can you say amen? You see, there was a time in Earth's history where the men of this earth were not faithful, where the men of this earth were wicked and full of depravity. And for that reason, God, in His infinite grace and His infinite mercy, was forced to cause a flood to come upon our planet. In considering that flood, she continues in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 79, and she says, in the condition of the world that existed before the flood, they saw illustrated, they were watching, she says, the results of the administration which Lucifer had endeavored to establish in heaven. In rejecting the authority of Christ and casting aside the law of God, in those high-handed sinners of the antediluvian world, they saw the subjects over whom Satan held sway. The thoughts of men's heart were only evil continually, we see in Genesis 6, verse 5. Friends of mine, men of mine, here in the Chandler Church, God not only considers our works, but He watches what's happening in our hearts. Do you hear me today? We cannot hide our hearts from Jesus. We not only need clean hands, beloved, we need pure hearts. Do you hear me today? Because in the days of Noah, the hearts were only evil continually, and every emotion, every impulse, every imagination was at war with the divine principles of purity and peace and love. It was an example, she says, of the awful depravity resulting from Satan's policy to remove from God's creature the restraint of His holy law. And I would submit to us today, those of us who are men in Christ, sons of the living God, that we need to make our hearts, our homes, our families, our lives under the restraint of God's law. Amen? Amen. We need to live according to His commandments, and we need to obey God rather than men. Do you hear me today, men? As these events unfolded, God allowed them, she says, so that our big brothers could watch, so that the whole world could see and understand whose government is best and just and who we should follow. She says this, by the facts unfolded in the progress of the great controversy, God will demonstrate, He will show to all of us and to the world the principles of His rules of government, which has been falsified by Satan and by all whom he has deceived. His justice will finally be acknowledged by the whole world. Though, check this out, Chandler, the acknowledgement will be made too late to save the rebellious. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, men, do you hear me? Today is the day where we go home and we throw some stuff away, or we turn some stuff off, or we put some stuff out of the fridge, or we put some bottles in the receptacles where they belong. Do you hear me? God is calling us as men. Our commander in chief, the King of the heavenly angels, the greatest warrior and soldier and man our universe has ever seen, He is calling us to obedience, but more importantly, He's calling us to the allegiance of love. And He's worthy of that love. 2,000 years ago, on a cross, our King, our greatest soldier, our sovereign, the leader of the angels, laid down His power and in weakness and in love, demonstrated the character of His kingship and His government. And He made it manifest for all of the world and the church and our big brothers to see. She says this, in regards to the sacrifice our King made for us. It's from The Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 3, page 184. She says, what intense interest they followed the closing scenes of the conflict. This is the angels. They beheld, they watched our big brothers, the Savior, enter into the Garden of Gethsemane, his soul bowed down by a horror of darkness that he had never before experienced. Heaven had beheld the victim betrayed and hurried from one earthly tribunal to another with mockery and violence. It had heard the sneers of his persecutors because of his low birth and because of his denial, with cursing and swearing by one of his best loved disciples. It had seen the frenzied work of Satan and his power over the hearts of men. Men, we've got to guard our hearts, amen? She says, oh, what a fearful scene. Our Savior seized at midnight in Gethsemane like a murderer, dragged to and from palace to judgment hall, arraigned twice before the priests, twice before the Sanhedrin, twice before Pilate, once before Herod, mocked, scourged, and condemned, led out to be crucified, bearing the heavy burden of the cross amid the wailing of the daughters of Jerusalem and the jeering of the crowd. She says this. She said, heaven viewed, our big brothers watched the whole thing. Heaven viewed with grief and amazement as Jesus Christ hung upon the cross. Blood was flowing from his wounded temples and sweat tinged with blood standing upon his brow. From his hands and feet, the blood had fallen drop by drop upon the rock drilled for the foot of the cross. The wounds made by the nails had gaped as the weight of his body dragged on his hands. His labored breathing had grown quick and deep as his soul panted under the burdens of the sins of the whole world, yours and mine, men. All heaven had been filled with admiration. Our big brothers were watching when the prayer of Christ was offered in the midst of his terrible suffering. And I believe this is the greatest act of strength, men, the greatest act of self-restraint that we have ever seen. This is strength. This is power. He prays, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Yet, she says, there stood men formed in the image of God who were joining with Satan to crush out the last spark of life from the heart of the Son of God. Men of Chandler Church, where do we stand today? Created in the image of God, formed by the hands of Jesus Christ, where is it that we stand as the entire universe witnesses the scenes that are taking place in this world? You see, as Jesus demonstrated great love, great mercy, and amazing grace, and while all of our big brothers were watching, the reality is the entire universe still sits on edge as this cosmic drama continues to unfold. And they wait, watching your response. You see, it is the season finale of the Cosmic Big Brother series. And in this finale, the actors are not Adam, they are not Cain, nor Abel, nor David, nor Solomon, they are not Peter, nor John, nor Paul. This time, Chandler Church Men's Ministry, the actors are you and me. And how you and me respond to the trials, how you and me respond to the temptations, how you and me respond to the tough times demonstrates what we believe about Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ is faithful to us. And I believe that one day when we stand in the presence of God, I believe what Ellen White wrote in regards to that. When we consider our trials and our tribulations, what we face here in this world, she said this in Review and Herald from March 7, 1912. She says, when the redeemed stand in the presence of God one day, they will see how short-sighted were their conclusions as to what heaven records as success. they will see how petty were their supposed trials and how unreasonable were their doubts. They will see how often they brought failure to the work that God had given them by failing to show unquestioning faith in God. Do you know what she's saying to us, men? She's saying we need to man up. She's saying we need to man up. And it's one of the reasons I love Ellen White. She's something more manly than some of us men, amen? She tells it like it is. She calls a spade. And she says, you know what, as men, one day when we get there, we'll realize as we look back on our lives, our trials, our temptations, and we think we have it so tough and we throw pity parties for ourselves that cause us to leave church and leave ministries and walk away from our faith, not support our wives as they take our children to church. So say we will look at ourselves and say, how selfish. We were acting like little boys. How petty. We need men in the Chandler Church. Men of God who will follow the God that became a man. Amen. You know, I recall a song that became very famous in modern American culture. It was sung by the artist Bette Midler. It was entitled From a Distance. And that song ended with these familiar words. She said, God is watching us. God is watching us. He is watching us from a distance. Beautiful song, but I believe the message is incorrect. God is not watching us from a distance. God is Emmanuel, God with us right here in our midst. And for that reason, Christ in us, which Paul says is the hope of glory, gives us as men access to our Father who is in heaven to strengthen us, to sustain us, to fortify us in our walk of faith amidst all that which we will face. And for that reason, Ellen White said this to us in Signs of the Times, April 27, 1904. She says this in regards to our big brothers and our connection with heaven. She says, in all ages, angels have been near to Christ's faithful followers. All ages. Heaven and earth are no wider apart today than when the shepherds listened to the angels' song when Jesus came to be here on earth. Humanity is as much the object of heaven's solicitude as when common men of common occupations met at noonday and talked with the heavenly messengers in the vineyards and the fields. Angels from the courts above attend the steps of those that come and go at God's command. Men of our Chandler Church, who is your commander? Who is your chief? As the inspired pen tells us that when we choose King Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord, King Jesus sends his angels to encamp about us and around our home. Hallelujah. This is what she says. She goes on to say, we are surrounded, as Paul told us, by such a great cloud of witnesses. The battlements of heaven are thronged with a great cloud of angels watching the conflict of man with the prince of darkness. Satan wants to destroy our marriages. Satan wants to destroy our homes. Satan wants to destroy our faithfulness and our allegiance to Christ. And he starts with the head, which is you, men. Do you hear me? And she says the cloud of witnesses are watching the conflict of men with the prince of darkness. They bend from the eminence and with intense interest our big brothers watch to see if the child of God, who is harassed, perplexed, persecuted, denounced, defamed, and condemned, it's not going to be easy, men. It's not going to be easy. But they watch to see, as with was our master, if we will look to heaven for strength. Today, Chandler Church, my challenge to our men is that we look to heaven. We look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. that we make a full and complete consecration of our lives to our Savior and our Lord. And whatever it is in our heart that is dark, that we are hiding, harboring, or keeping from Jesus, we need to let the light of heaven shine in, down, and through. Do you hear me today, men? And here in our Chandler Church, here among our men's ministry, we need to see a resurgence of faithful men of God. Men of God who are marching to Zion. Men of God who are aligned with the King of Heaven. Men of God who are fighting on the side of Michael at war with the dragon who is deceiving our whole world. Because our whole world, our children, our homes, our future, and our salvation is at stake. Let's give it all to Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Today, men, as we close, today as our pianist comes forward to play a song, it is our week of prayer. And today, during our week of prayer, we want to conclude with a final prayer for our men. And I want to invite today any man in our congregation, any young man who knows today that he needs to make a reconsecration of his heart to Jesus, that he needs to take up the mantle of leadership in his life and in his home, that he needs to stand up in fortitude, faith, and assurance for the principles he has put aside. I want that man to come forward today and join me as I recommit my life to Jesus, my faith, my heart, and my fortitude. Today, if there's anyone here who knows that Jesus needs to be first in his life, I invite that man or that young man to come forward as we look to heaven and lift our lives to Jesus.